The Baltimore Ravens are defeated by the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 12 by the final score of 28-27. We recap the game, talk about what's next for the Ravens and more coming up here on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we've returned here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And thank you so much for tuning in with us, making us your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all podcasting platforms, including over on YouTube. So if you hear this in video form on YouTube, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you hear this in audio form, be sure to follow along as well. And also, today's episode of Locked On Ravens is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their prize pick projection, you can win up to 10 times money on your entry. First time user, you're going to receive $100 in the boss match, up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And we are back here. Unfortunately, not a victory Monday. It was a heartbreaking Sunday for the Ravens as they lose 28-27 to the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game that it doesn't feel right. The Ravens just don't feel right now as a team. The offense doesn't get anything going till after the third quarter. The defense cannot do anything in the fourth quarter, allowing 18 points on Jacksonville's final three drives. We have a lot to talk about today, and we're going to have some honest conversations. We are about the Ravens, who they are, what they need to do. Talk about this game in particular. We'll start with the offense in the first segment, move to defense in the second segment, and then do an overarching, where are the Ravens? Who are the Ravens? What do the Ravens need to do in the final segment? So let's dive into offense now. We'll start again. The Ravens do score 27 points, but they didn't score their first touchdown until the fourth quarter, and the theme of last week was the Ravens did not score a touchdown in the first three quarters, and then the defense sparked it. Well, same thing happened. The defense sparked it. They get a turnover. Tyus Bowser levels Trevor Lawrence, and the ball comes out. Baltimore recovers, and the offense is able to take advantage of a short field, which they should do, and score a touchdown. But the issue is the Ravens have started extremely slow these past couple of weeks. And as I said on Twitter after the game, slow starts happen, right? They happen for offenses, cool. But these two slow starts the Ravens have had over these last 2 weeks, they've lasted 3+ quarters. That can't happen if you're an offense, especially one with Lamar Jackson at the helm. So Baltimore does score 27 points. And I give them credit for getting it together later in the game. They do get the go-ahead touchdown drive and whatnot, and they're able to get ahead late. But at the same time, they had so many opportunities to put this game away early. But we saw so many of the things come back that have haunted the Ravens earlier in the season. We saw overthrows from Lamar Jackson. We'll talk about him in a second. We saw drops from receivers. We didn't really see a ton of penalties in this game, actually. The referees kind of kept their flags in their pocket, kept the whistles down. The Ravens had 3 penalties for 20 yards, Jacksonville 4 for 19. But regardless, it's those little self-inflicted mistakes or missed opportunities. And Lamar Jackson talked about it after the game. They had so many missed opportunities. And, overall, they could have scored more points. So Jackson, on the day for the Ravens, ended up finishing 16-32, 254 yards and a touchdown, and also had 14 carries for 89 yards on the ground. Now, it's interesting when you're talking about Lamar Jackson. The deep ball accuracy has not been there this year for him, and it showed in this game. First drive of the game, I think it was, the Ravens have an opportunity to go score, and Mark Andrews, the fumble gets overturned, so they catch a break there. But then Lamar Jackson overthrows a wide open DeMarcus Robinson, and that would have been a walk-in touchdown. There are a couple other instances throughout the game where Lamar Jackson did miss some of those throws, and they're throws he has to hit, right? I am very of the nature of I want to give credit where it's due, but I also want to give criticism where it's due. I want to be fair in this kind of stuff. And Jackson was not helped by his receivers for a lot of the game, right? But he did have throws that he could have made to put the Ravens in a better position to win. Jackson, compared to the first 3 weeks of the season, we've talked about this. The pure box score numbers have not been there for him. Obviously, it goes far, far beyond that. And when you're looking at the deep ball accuracy and the throws that he's missed throughout the season, we saw against Cincinnati in prime time, on the same possession. He missed two wide open touchdowns on deep throws. He did. Now, I will give him credit. He did hit that 62-yard beautiful deep throw to DeSean Jackson. That was an amazing throw by him. Tons of credit to him. But at the same time, it's again, it goes back to the missed opportunities that you don't have or that you had, but you didn't capitalize on earlier in the contest. So look, Jackson knows he has to be better in those situations. He's obviously mad about it. And the frustration showed after the game. Definitely. He knows there are opportunities to be had. He talked about it, but he does have to be better in those situations. But he also did show up in certain situations, but he has to show up in the others that can get the Ravens the lead. They can get the Ravens momentum earlier in the contest, because these slow starts, as I've talked about, and I'll say it again, they're not going to get you past the Buffalo. They're not going to get you past the Kansas City. They're not going to get you past the Miami, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Ravens have to be better at capitalizing on the opportunities that are presented to them, because they're digging themselves in a hole. And it doesn't just go to Lamar Jackson, right? It goes also to his receivers, who dropped multiple passes on the day. Mark Andrews had drops, DeMarcus Robinson, I think Kenyon Drake had one, and there were so many drops in this game. And the Ravens had drop issues last week too. The same overarching issues plagued this team throughout both week 11 and week 12. The difference is that Jacksonville was able to come out with a win, where the Ravens in week 11 were able to come out with that win. So they go 1-1. You could argue they probably could be 0-2 in those situations if the Carolina offense just was not terrible. And credit to the Ravens defense for doing what they did in week 11, obviously. We'll get to week 12 in the second segment. Baltimore, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I know it's also frustrating when we continuously see this offense get to the line 5-4-3-2-1. Zero, and you know, either the ball is snapped with 0 seconds, there was another delay of game penalty this week, and then I think the play after it, the ball got snapped at 0 seconds. Kyle Barber, friend of the show, you know, was tweeting out a lot of the time when the play clock got down very low or hit zero, and he said, you know, this is not like a repeating tweet. This continues to happen throughout the course of the game, and this has not been just a week 12 thing. It's not just a week 11 thing. This goes back not months, but years. And there's a tweet from Bumani Jones, I think it was like 8 years ago, and he said, whoever gets Greg Roman, you better be prepared for those delay of game penalties and those burn timeouts. From 8 years ago. Like, how unbelievable is that? So we'll talk about Greg Roman and what his situation is in the final segment, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But it is so frustrating when we have continuously heard the Ravens talk about, yeah, we understand it's an issue, but we're going to get it under control. We're working on it. And then week after week, it's the same thing. We see Lamar Jackson get frustrated. Obviously, the fans are frustrated. I'm sure it frustrates the coaching staff too. Like, obviously, I'm sure it does. But it's just continuously getting to the line late, whether it's the play calls, whether it's Lamar, whoever it is, it has to be a joint effort to be able to get that under control, because it has gone on for far, far, far too long, and it's impacting. And one of these days, it will lose them a game in a key situation if they don't get it under control. You know, a fourth quarter clutch situation, it will lose them a game, and then we'll all be talking about it then. So they have to figure that out overall. It's not great. And then also the red zone offense. The Ravens go 2 of 5 in the red zone on the day, on Sunday. They leave 12 points on the board in a one-point loss. 12 points. They had an opportunity. If they convert on just one more red zone possession, they win this game. They do. It's as simple as that. Now, obviously, the game script probably goes a bit differently and whatnot, but we've seen a team, again, continuous red zone issues the entire season of not being able to punch the ball. And the Ravens got the ball on their first two drives to the Jacksonville 12-yard line to the Jacksonville 10-yard line. They came away with 6 points instead of 14. It's an issue. They have to figure it out. The play calling has not been great in the red zone. We saw the play calling for Greg Roman a fullback screen here on like a 3rd and 8 or something. It's those types of things where you're like, just why? What's going on here? Why is this being called? Other stats for the day for the Ravens offense. They actually were very good on third down. I'll give them credit. 8 of 14. Fourth down, though, they run that quarterback sneak. After what a weird situation that was, right? Where the Ravens, they get a first down, apparently, but then the ball gets respotted. Then they have to go for it on fourth down. They miss it, and they get the Jacksonville gets the ball back. And we've seen that quarterback sneak where Lamar Jackson kind of runs around and tries to dive in. We saw it against the Titans in the playoffs in 2020. It didn't work twice. And I just said, throw that whole page of the playbook into the abyss. Well, the Ravens apparently did not do that. And they ran it again and they did not convert on it. Running game, the Ravens averaged 4.6 yards per carry. Jackson, 6.4 himself. Gus Edwards, 16 for 52, did have that fumble deep in Jacksonville territory that they actually only got a field goal out of, so it wasn't complete damage, but still not great. Devin Duvernay, 2 for 16. Justice Owen for the Kenyon Drake, 2 for 2. Receiver-wise, Josh Oliver, revenge game in full effect, 4 for 76 and a score for him. Really good game from Josh Oliver. DeSean Jackson with that 62-yard, really big connection from Lamar Jackson. Jackson to Jackson, we talked about. Mark Andrews, 4 for 50. Not a great Mark Andrews day overall. Dropped the touchdown, had the fumble. Did come up with a couple key catches, but not the Mark Andrews day we were accustomed to here in Baltimore. Then we have Devin Duvernay, 3 for 23. DeMarcus Robinson, 1 for 17. Patrick Ricard, 2 for 14. So, yeah, just a lot of sloppy play by the offense. We'll get into the defense, though, coming up in the second segment, talking about their first three quarters and then the fourth quarter collapse. So be sure to stay tuned. So a ton to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. Find Block Forever now wherever you get your podcasts. Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. Khalil takes the conversation about football to the next level. He gives football fans an insider's look at the game through the eyes of the greatest players and personalities of all time. Khalil sits down with star players, coaches, and former pros across the league to get real about what happens on the field and behind the scenes inside locker rooms during team meetings and even back at the hotel. So catch the full Block Forever series available wherever you get your podcasts, available everywhere now. Audible, get in the game. We're back here, our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you after the Ravens' heartbreaking loss to Jacksonville, 28-27 in week 12. Baltimore falls to 7-4, their four-game winning streak snaps. And I appreciate you for tuning in and listening after a loss. I know how hard it can be to consume content from your favorite team after a loss, so I appreciate you going through it all here with me and just breaking it all down as we talk about it here. But let's dive defense now. The Ravens defense, they allowed 28 points, 18 of which came in the fourth quarter. A collapse on the back end of this game for the Ravens. Well, some on their back end, but also just the whole defense could not get anything going in the fourth quarter after only allowing 10 points through the first three quarters. And they didn't allow Jacksonville to score in the first quarter, didn't allow them to score in the third quarter as well. Trevor Lawrence lit this defense up, 29 to 37, 321 yards and three touchdowns. The run game, the Ravens run defense was great. The Jaguars averaged 1.9 yards per carry. The Jaguars did lose Travis Etienne pretty early in the game. He didn't end up returning. So it was Jamichael Hasty, Snoop Connor. Didn't really get anything going. I mean, Hasty averaged 2.3 yards per carry, Connor 3.7, Etienne himself 1.5. So the Ravens run defense did their job. It is impossible, almost impossible to run on this Ravens defense right now. They will stop you and they will force you to try to beat them with your arm, with the quarterback. And Trevor Lawrence did that. And, you know, give him a lot of credit. He stepped up to the plate when it mattered. The Ravens defense did not do so. It was another fourth quarter collapse for a team that has dealt with that throughout the course of the season. I know a lot of people thought that, hey, maybe this defense has moved past that. We saw very dominant defensive performances for the Ravens in the second half of that Tampa game. We also saw it in the New Orleans game. We saw it in the Carolina game. And we even saw it at points in this game. But the fourth quarter was just way, way too much. And it was something that it's the fourth quarter started and the Ravens defense could not do anything with it. I'll read a stat from the actual fourth quarter on those final three Jaguars possessions. Well, the final one, the Jaguars went 10 plays, 75 yards in that score in a minute and 48 seconds. And then they give it the two-point conversion as well. And then for the defense in those final three possessions, it was 28 plays for 155 yards. And obviously all of which came in the fourth quarter. It was a touchdown, then a field goal, then a touchdown with a two-point conversion. Obviously that's where the 18 points come from. It can't happen. It cannot happen if you're the Ravens defense, a team that prides themselves on that side of the ball, that has invested so much money in that side of the ball, especially in their secondary. I thought Marlon Humphrey played really well throughout the course of this game. Marcus Peters did not. You know, I am all for Marcus Peters. I've been a big supporter, and I think he's great. But he's been in the area of a lot of completions this year. It has not been his best year. He's working back from the injury, right? He got injured, didn't play in 2021. But this was not a good Marcus Peters game. He let up a lot of plays, was in the area for a lot of completions. He's someone that I know a lot of people are kind of questioning his long-term future. I think that's a question for a different day. We kind of talked about it on last week's show, and we talked about, can the Ravens keep Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen? Kind of like a mini side note, I think some of the players are going to have to make decisions on for the Ravens in terms of Lamar Jackson's contract, Roquan Smith, et cetera, is do you keep a guy like Marcus Peters around, and do you re-sign him because he is a free agent after this season? So regardless, we'll get into that more maybe throughout the week and over the course of these next couple of months as that timeline approaches. But the Ravens defense just, they couldn't do anything. And it wasn't like these drives were, well, it was one of each, right? The Jaguars on their first possession, they put together a long drive in that fourth quarter that they ended up scoring that touchdown on. It ended up being a 14-play, 75-yard drive, took up 7 minutes and 12 seconds of that fourth quarter. Then after the Jaguars got the ball back, they only ran 4 plays for 5 yards, so that was the one where they got the stop after the Edwards fumble. But then the 10-play, 75-yard drive for them was just – it was the backbreaker, the 2-point conversion. And I was thinking, I'm like, how fitting in the worst way would it be if after the Ravens lost so many games in 2021 – on these 2-point conversions that they just could not get on offense, where they went for it for the win, they couldn't get it. How fitting would it be if the Ravens lose this game because they cannot stop the 2-point conversion when they have a chance to steal the game and win it? And obviously they did not. Zay Jones was great. Marlon Humphrey, you know, he left the game, but then he came back in. And then you have guys like Christian Kirk playing well for the Jaguars, Marvin Jones playing well for the Jaguars. So They did their job when it mattered. And the Ravens told the Jaguars, hey, we're going to have you throw the ball here. We're going to make you do it against the secondary that has Marlon Humphrey and has Marcus Peters. They did it. They were missing Marcus Williams in this one. There was that missed interception by Geno Stone on that final possession. I think it was Geno Stone on that final possession. I apologize if it wasn't Geno Stone, but I think it was Geno Stone on that final possession. And the Ravens just can't get the ball. I think Marcus Williams makes that play. They're missing Kyle Hamilton in this one. Hamilton was playing great football for them. They had to use Marlon Humphrey a bit in the slot in this one. They used Pepe Williams there in the slot as well. Brandon Stevens did not have a good game either. He was someone who had a couple of plays, also let up a couple of really, 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 really big completions here. So it's about consistency. It's about not getting complacent here. The Ravens played great defense, and Justin Houston kind of talked about this after the game, where you have to play for 4 quarters. You have to do it. And for a defensive unit that prides themselves on getting stops, they've been a great turnover team this year. They've been a lot better in the sack department too. They couldn't get any of that going. Well, they did get a couple turnovers, and they had 4 sacks in this one. Calais Campbell gets a sack. He's at 99 for his career now, so he only needs one more to break that 100 threshold that he's been dreaming about since he was a kid. I mean, Broderick Washington had a sack on what, like the first play of the game. So it was a tone setter there. Marlon Humphrey had his second sack of the season. Tyus Bowser gets that strip sack on the leveling play out on Trevor Lawrence. So the opportunities were there, but then it was the long conversion. The Jaguars had what, like a 3rd and 21 or something. I'll find it, but the Jaguars had a 3rd and 21 with a 1:51 to go in the fourth quarter at their own 14 after Calais Campbell levels Trevor Lawrence for that sack. Lawrence fumbles, and actually Luke Fortner, the center, recovers it for the Jaguars. If the Ravens had recovered that football, game over. There's no question. It's game over right there. But it's just the littlest things, the ball bouncing the wrong way, but you can't blame it on that. You can't blame it on that because the defense just could not play their game consistently in this one overall. Pure box score stats, you know, just getting into that briefly here. Marcus Peters led the team with 8 tackles. A lot of that had to do with the fact that he was getting burned a lot and had to bring down receivers that had caught balls on him. So him and Roquan Smith both had 8 tackles. Chuck Clark, 7. Brandon Stevens, Patrick Queen, Marlon Humphrey, 6. Broderick Washington, 5. Then a lot of guys with 3-2-1 and 0 as well. Team stat-wise, Baltimore actually held Jacksonville pretty in check on third down, 4 of 13 on third down, but Jacksonville converting 2 of their 3 fourth downs on this play, including the 4th and 5 on their final possession to keep their drive going there. Jacksonville held the ball for 27 minutes and 21 seconds, so the Ravens won that time possession battle, 32 minutes and 39 seconds there. And I mean, it wasn't like the Ravens defense, well, Jacksonville averaged 5.4 yards per play, the Ravens 6.1. If you take out that fourth quarter, Baltimore played a great game. The problem is you don't. The problem is you play a full 4 quarters, a full 60 minutes. The Ravens have to do that both on offense and on defense, where it was like the Ravens defense carried the offense for the first 3 quarters, and then the Ravens offense carried the defense through the last quarter, but they were never synced up. It wasn't like the offense was dominating when the defense was. The defense wasn't dominating when the offense was. So it was all the stuff that goes into a game where you just don't get this here, you don't get that there, and it's those self-inflicted wounds that do you win in the end. And that is some of the reason, a lot of the reason, actually, why Baltimore ends up dropping this game in a game that many thought they should win. But give Jacksonville credit. They're a tough team. They hung around. And on that Justin Tucker field goal, I'll sneak in the special teams analysis here. On that Justin Tucker field goal, I tweeted out, put him out there from 70-plus if you have to. Just get Justin Tucker on the field. He kicks a 67-yarder. When that ball went up, I thought it was going. I thought it was going in. It looked high enough. You know, he put a lot of air under the ball, but he just barely missed it. Tucker was their offense today for the most part. He gets a pass for missing that field goal. Obviously, he's still the greatest kicker to do it of all time. And it was unfortunate the Ravens lost the game this way. And coming up, we'll be diving into just what they do from here, what they have coming up, and a little Greg Roman talk. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to dive into here on the show. But first, this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. And I actually had a pretty good week in fantasy this week. It was bad the Ravens lost. I'd trade the fantasy win for a Ravens win, but unfortunately that's not how it works. But if you want a different twist on fantasy, be sure to try out Prize Picks, and you can have a ton of current entries, and they have a ton of different games and formats that are super easy to play. And how it works is you pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go score more or less in their Prize Picks projection, you can up to 10 times the money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It says Uber's projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, you have NHL, PGA, college football, college basketball, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They have safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time user can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That means if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On to sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100. We're back here, our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher rounding out this Monday episode here with you. Again, thanks so much for tuning in after a loss. I do really appreciate it, and thank you for all your support. As we now dive into what the Ravens need to do, who the Ravens are, and just what they have coming up here. Well, what the Ravens are, I mean, they're a team that's good, but at the same time, they have a lot. They have a lot they need to work on, because good teams do not do what the Ravens did here against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is not be able to get anything going on offense. The Ravens need more consistency. They need to be more consistent. They need to be less complacent. And I'm sure these guys are working hard. I have no doubt they're working hard to get ready for these games. But in the games, that's when it matters. That's when you win and lose. And I think what you're looking at with the Ravens is a team that has a super easy strength of schedule here. We've talked about it, where after the bye week, Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, you got Pittsburgh twice, you got Atlanta in there, you got a game against Cleveland, a game against Cincinnati as well. It's a team that should be able to take advantage of those. And these losses sting more, almost, when you think you're supposed to beat a team and then all of a sudden you don't go in there and do your job. You miss an opportunity here. You don't score points there. You leave points on the board. And all of a sudden you lose a game. It's a conference game. It's going to count against conference record. Luckily, not a divisional matchup, so it's not going to matter there. But in terms of tiebreakers, Jacksonville, I don't think, is going to threaten the Ravens playoff positioning wise, but the loss in the conference column could do something to them. So where do the Ravens find their spark? What do the Ravens have to do in order to get back on track? Because again, a game against Carolina like that, a game against Jacksonville like that, that is not getting you far in the playoffs at all. At all. It's not getting you where you want to go. So what do they have to do? They need to change. They need a spark somewhere, whether that is personnel-wise, are you benching someone, whether it's coaching-wise, are you firing someone? You need to do something to shake things up, right, to spark something. I'm not saying tear the whole team down. You're not going to hear a trade of Lamar Jackson out of me. I'm still a big Lamar Jackson guy. I do know the struggles that he's had so far deep ball-wise, but look, he's still a polarizing player. He's still an electric player. He still makes things happen on the field. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league, so you're not going to hear that out of me, but I don't know. You got to look, and I think the guy that everyone points to is Greg Roman. Now, my thing with Greg Roman, I've been pretty neutral on the whole situation for a while now, but over the past couple months here, I have said that I think the Ravens should probably, I think it's probably time for the Ravens to move on from Greg Roman. and what he brings. Now, I think that it's just something where the two sides have outgrown each other, right? Roman had the historic offense in 2019. He was able to come back in the back half of that 2020 season and revive that rush offense for a team that really was lacking identity for the first couple months of the season. 2021 with injuries, it made sense to me why the Ravens brought him back. I would have probably let him go at the end of that 2021 season, but I understood the thought process that they had there. But I think now it is really time to shake things up. You know, I'm not saying they are going to do it or they aren't going to do it. I don't have any of that information. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, the Ravens have already done something like this. But we saw the Ravens make a move. And the reason why it's not so out of the realm of possibility is we've seen the Ravens do something like this before. The Ravens in 2012, I know a lot of people probably know this story, but I'll tell it anyway. The Ravens in 2012 fired Cam Cameron, their offensive coordinator, after a 9-4 start. The Ravens, for context, are 7-4 right now. Now, Baltimore had lost two games in that 2012 season. They just came off a pretty bad overtime loss to Washington. And the Ravens thought, you know what, we're going to make a change here. We need to make a change. We need to find a spark. And Cam Cameron was that guy for them. They bring in Jim Caldwell. They promote him. And he ends up, what happens that year? They win the Super Bowl. Jim Caldwell takes them to the promised land because the Ravens had that spark. And it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. You know, it took some time to adjust, but the Ravens won when it mattered. And I don't think the Ravens win the Super Bowl that year with Cam Cameron still at the helm if the Ravens do stick it out there. It would be a bold move if the Ravens did it, right? Firing a coordinator at the beginning of December pretty much right now. That's a bold move, no matter which way you look at it here. But I think the Ravens would have enough time to whoever it is. I know a lot of people point to T. Martin. I know some people point to James Urban, whoever it would be. I think Baltimore would have an opportunity to get that offensive coordinator fully dialed in with the offense. Really, ever since week three, we have not seen a dominant performance outside of one week, and that was the Saints game. You could argue the Tampa game, right? But even that game was, you know, first half wasn't great. It was really the second half that the Ravens dominated in. So I think for the Ravens, I've been on the mindset for a couple months that they should have probably moved on from him. They haven't done so. I still understand why they're not. But I think at the same time, it's like we've seen the consistent issues. We've seen the play calling be not great at times. We've seen the lack of in-game awareness, situational awareness from Greg Roman. I still think he's a fine offensive coordinator overall, right? I don't think he's this horrible, horrendous, terrible offensive coordinator. And firing him doesn't fix all of the Ravens' problems. They still have other stuff to work out, even if they do move on from Greg Roman. But at the same time, I think it is a spark that they would need to move forward here. Now, maybe, again, they find that in another way. Maybe they give, I don't know, maybe they move Tylan Wallace in the starting lineup or something crazy like that. Move a guy like, I don't even know what they would do on defense. Move Travis Jones into a bigger role or give Malik Harrison more snaps. I don't know. Adafe Owe is someone who I forgot to talk about him in the second segment. He's someone who has not been good this year at all. You know, he's been held a lot. I will give him that. But it has been a true sophomore slump for Adafe Owe here. I was expecting a lot more. Justin Houston has picked up that slack from him, so it hasn't been as noticeable. But it's pretty noticeable where when you're looking at the expectations that Adafe Owe has had. So maybe you try to maybe wane off of Adafe Owe snaps and then try to get them worked in towards the end of the season. Again, there are many different circumstances, many different situations, but the Ravens have a week 13 matchup coming up with the Denver Broncos. Little insight on the Denver Broncos before we'll dive into it throughout the rest of the week here. But the Denver Broncos are reeling. They are absolutely reeling right now. If the Ravens don't fire Greg Roman this week or move on from him this week, and they lose to Denver next week and the offense still looks bad, that is the ultimate, all right, this like has to happen now. Like something has to happen now. Because if the Ravens lose to this Denver team, the way they are playing right now, Russell Wilson has not looked anything like his old self in Denver. He has been terrible this season overall. The offense for Denver is one of the worst offenses in the NFL. Now their pass defense, Denver's pass defense is really, really, really good. I think they're the second-rated pass offense. They were the second-rated pass defense heading into the week this week. So we'll see if that number moves up or down after their another loss here. But at the same time, the Ravens have to beat Denver. They have to get that momentum back. If they lose to Denver, that has just looked lost all season, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good, especially it's a home game. Marshall Yanda is getting honored. You cannot disrespect Marshall Yanda on the day he gets honored at M&T Bank Stadium. So tons of stuff to work out for the Ravens here. Again, just a heartbreaking, very disappointing loss for them. We'll dive into it throughout the rest of the week, but as the Ravens are doing, and they're hopefully already done, put it behind them, find out what's wrong with what they were working on, figure out how to fix it, and get back to work. We'll continue diving into it throughout the rest of the week here on Locked On Ravens. So be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel on YouTube, and follow along in audio form. We have daily Ravens content 5 days per week here. So if you want that Ravens news, analysis, updates, and more, we are the place for you here. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll be diving into more Ravens content. So be sure to stay tuned for that, and I will see you right back here tomorrow.